bums a dime in your prime. Didn't you? People called, say beware, doll, you're bound to fall. You thought they were all just kidding you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, June 28, 2017 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Before I go any further, I want to shout out a happy birthday to John Stadmiller. I heard a little bit of his show today, and I heard some people talking about that, so I want to make sure I got that in there. About a quarter after the hour tonight, I've got Eric Jones coming up. We're going to kibitz for a little while, give you a few updates on what's going on, folks, and also tell you what's in the cards in the not-too-distant future for me. I've got a couple of commitments that I've got to take care of. And, well, I'm just going to let you know what's happening. Eric's been kind enough to help me out in this endeavor because, as you know, last week I didn't broadcast at all. I was doing rebroadcast. Well, I'm not going to do that this time around with the contractual issues that I have going on in the near future. Eric is going to sit in for me, and I'll probably be popping in from time to time good conversation, good reporting, and so forth. But we'll see how it goes. But I just read here that there's a little bit, if you want to call it, good news. By the way, Eric's going to be calling in about 15 minutes after the hour, and we'll, chat for however long it goes and let you guys in on what's happening. So this report I just pulled up, and this is out of Bend, Oregon. It's a little bit, maybe, of some sort of good news, if you can call this tragedy good news. But out of Bend, late Tuesday evening, it was announced that an unnamed FBI agent that was involved in the killing of Robert Lavoie Finicum has been indicted. The agent is accused of lying about shooting at Finicum in 2016 when officers arrested the leaders of an occupation of the Federal Wildlife Refuge there in rural Oregon. In March of 2016, it was announced that multiple FBI agents were under investigation for their role in the death of Finicum. And for over a year, Finicum's family has waited for answers. And on Tuesday night, they received a glimpse into the corruption surrounding the death of their beloved father and husband. An FBI agent now faces allegations of making false statements with the intent of obstructing justice. Now, according to the reports, he is to be named today. So if anybody out there, I haven't heard any name, if anybody out there has heard a name, have you heard a name, Mike? No? The FBI agent that was arrested or that has been indicted? Okay. I haven't heard yet. It says that he was supposed to be named today. So, according to the Oregonian, I'm on the air.
Sir, that's you.
I'm on the air.
Don't push it. Pull it. Oh, I'm sorry. You're on the air?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot.
That was John popping in after I wished him a happy birthday. So, an FBI agent now faces allegations of making false statements with the intent of obstructing justice. And according to the reports, he is to be named on Wednesday. And according to the Oregonian, investigators concluded that one agent fired at Finicum's truck, hitting it in the roof and missing on the second shot. Now, a state trooper later described to investigators seeing two rifle casings in the area where the FBI agents were posted. But detectives called to investigate didn't find the casings, the police reports indicated. The Deschutes County Sheriff alleged, as Finicum left his truck, an FBI agent shot twice at Finicum, but none of the FBI hostage team members said they discharged their firearms. Now, it appears that the agent attempted to hide the fact that they shot at him, and now they're being called to task for it. The federal law prohibits knowingly and willfully making any false, fictitious, or fraudulent statement or representation or concealing information, yet that is exactly what happened. Now, since the shooting, which was captured on video from the FBI's bird's eye view, there have been many theories surrounding the death of Finicum. According to the official story, Lavoie Finicum was killed by officers because they had no other choice as he was reaching for a gun in his left pocket. Officials later found a loaded 9mm semi-automatic handgun in that pocket. Now, it is evident from the video that Finicum never presented the handgun. However, We can clearly see him reaching for his left side. Now, in the photo of the autopsy report taken by RT's Simone Del Rosario at the press conference last year and the video from inside the truck, there is now an alternative reason outside of going for a gun as to why Finnegan was reaching towards his left side. Why? He was shot there, folks. And the video proves that officers or agents opened fire on the vehicle prior to Finnegan exiting it. The footage from inside the vehicle shows that Finnegan could have been shot with his hands up as he was exiting the vehicle. Seemingly, Finnegan's intentions were to draw fire away from the truck, and that is exactly what he did that cost him his life. The last scene in the video shows a terrified little girl, Victoria Sharp, the 18-year-old gospel singer, emerging from the SUV, her hands upraised and her body painted by laser sights. One targeted her head, the other the center of her chest. Last year, all the police officers involved in the shooting of Finnegan were found to be justified. And coincidentally, also last year, the standoff leaders were acquitted for the takeover of the refuge. The group of men who seized the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in rural Oregon were found not guilty last fall, vindicating brothers Ammon and Ryan Bundy after the 41-day standoff that brought national focus to the long-running dispute over federal control of rural land in the western United States. And according to a report by the Oregonian, Ammon Bundy, older brother Ryan Bundy, and five other defendants were acquitted last fall of conspiracy and weapons charges. A second trial of four other occupants resulted in split verdicts earlier this year, with defendants Jason Patrick and Daryl Thorne convicted of conspiracy and others convicted of damaging government property and misdemeanor charges, including trespassing. Now, Finnegan's widow, Jeanette Finnegan, has announced plans earlier this year to sue both the Oregon State Police and the FBI for violating her late husband's civil rights. The suit will allege that the FBI fired at Finnegan when he's getting out of his car to surrender. Finnegan's attorney, Brian Claypool, said, and I quote, "What's critical is he's not even out of his door and there are gunshots blowing through his windows. That's excessive force 101. This indictment will most assuredly be used by her attorney in making their case." Folks, can you call that good news in this tragedy? I would say so. It's not good news because of the tragedy. It's good news because, well, I don't know, does somebody have to take the fall here? Does the government have to do something to quiet down the sheeple, the people that have been crying for ever since this episode happened, for justice here? We will see. Now, well, it's 7:08, I believe. Eric Jones is going to be calling in here about a quarter after. As I said, we're going to give you some updates regarding a number of different issues. He's got some updates on, I guess there was a gentleman that co-hosted with him by the name of Chris that Eric has some updates on something that's going on in this gentleman's life. So I don't know. We'll have to find out. I didn't know Chris. I had never spoken directly with Chris. But I'll tell you what, the birthday boy just walked in. I said the word.
You said the word.
Well, I wished a happy birthday to you on the air, John. Welcome, John. How are you?
Hi. How are you? I didn't even know that you. I didn't even know you were on the air. I'm so used to the old schedule.
And you know what's amazing about that, John? You just called me an hour ago and you said, "Are you doing a show tonight?" And I said, "Yes."
Oh, so on top of the birthday thing, now you got to prove that I'm what, losing my mind?
No, we're looking at products right now, folks, to put in the company store that are going to help, John.
No, it couldn't be the abject pressure I've been under for, you know, Captain Stat with sailing the USS Liberty.
He actually tried on my sailor cap today, which is an icon for me, folks. That is my trademark. You can go on my website, theamericanawakening.org. John doesn't think he looks good in it.
But the only thing that was missing when I put it on, you know what I look like? I look like one of these San Francisco bully boys that are foo-foos that wear the, you know, the hat and the leather jacket and the chains and all the stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, the left coast, there's something to be said about that. You were talking about San Francisco with Ron McDonald, and I was just out to the Sunset Strip last weekend. I have never seen anything like that. How far we have fallen.
Well, when I was out there, what was it, August 4 years ago, I went out to see him, and I decided to take the route Southern California and drive all the way up.
The 101.
The 101, and, mm-hmm. and I was astounded at how nice California is. And when we made the visit to his old hometown, San Francisco, and when I'm driving around, I'm looking, and the first thing that I did when I crossed the Golden Gate Bridge getting the hell out of San Francisco is I just wanted to run and go shower. What a weird little city that's turned into be.
Well, we would have to compare notes on that, because I'll tell you, the short period of time that I spent on Sunset Boulevard last Wednesday night, I was born and raised in California. I grew up in San Leandro, and I was in San Francisco several times, and over the years, obviously, has changed to a point where it's literally unrecognizable.
Well, remember Cookie Burns, 77?
Oh,
Sunset Strip?
Cookie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Cookie, lend me your comb.
And it used to be that Sunset Strip was the place.
Mm-hmm.
Now what it's the place for?
As I said, there were, and I described this on the air the other night, specifically there was one, I don't know what to call it. It was wearing a dress with lipstick on, and it had a beard. And I'm thinking, but what was more interesting than even that this thing was walking down the street, and people were just saying, hi, how you doing? And it was nothing out of the ordinary to these people. And I'm going, what planet are you on, or what planet did I arrive from? And, you know, people just seem to be in camaraderie there. There was weird looks, weird things going on, weird groups of people that were, you know, cadreing about in the corners. Walked into a particular store that was around the corner, and there was a cubbyhole in the back with a couple of trash cans, and there was two girls back there in their early 20s. I couldn't figure out exactly what they were doing. They were doing something. I don't know what it was exactly, but it was just the wrong place, in my mind, at the wrong time. I couldn't figure out what they were doing. And to be in a place like that anyway, two young women, mm-hmm. you know, it's just not the place to be at 10:30 at night.
See, here's the thing. What was normal behind closed doors, you never let anybody see, now it's just out there in Jump Street. So.
And what has brought it up?
Liberalism?
I suppose that must be what it is. What do you call it? LGBTQ is okay there, and I'm not saying it's not okay other places, but it seems to be rampant and a massive movement.
The problem that I have is this is a learned experience, and it is not. It is not. You don't get this from birth. Although I have met some people in my life, male and female, that might have been short a few chromosomes, and it really wasn't their fault. But by and large, this is taught and a learned experience. That's what I have a problem with.
Well, you know, there's an article that I pulled up I was going to share, this week or early next week, regarding Skull and Bones and the influence that organization has had over society for the past, 1832, I believe, that it came into existence. And it has to do, believe it or not, with the educational system. And I'm not sure whether you're familiar, but you remember the No Child Left Behind?
Oh, yeah.
You know who was responsible for that?
Georgie Bush pushed it.
But do you know who was pushing the books? Neil and Marvin Bush. They made a fortune on redistribution of the school books.
Wow.
Okay? And then to step up post that, you know who was responsible for Common Core? He was behind that. Bill Gates and Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Whitney.
Whitney. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she had mentioned that on her show a couple weeks ago. I caught a little snippet of it. But yeah, it's all this cadre of individuals, these back slapping, you know, handshaking people behind the scenes that are in all of this, putting this, the dumbing down of America, having to do with Skull and Bones, which I'm going to report on here probably, I don't know, Friday, maybe Monday. You know, this is a well-thought-out thing, and not only do they do this to dumb down the people, but they also make billions of dollars doing it, you know?
So I take it, what's the schedule here for your show?
The schedule?
You're going to be around or not be around?
Now Eric has got a show put together. I was going to leave, as you know, tomorrow morning, head back out there.
Right.
And I asked Eric if he would sub for me. Well, now Eric has a show put together, so he's going to sub for me tomorrow night. But I am going to be here, so I'm going to do Friday night.
Okay.
And I'm going to probably be here, unless something changes, I'll probably be here until, I would say, midweek next week.
Okay.
Okay.
By the way, somebody broke into my house. Didn't steal anything. They cleaned it.
Yes, I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, how does that happen?
Well, I'll tell you how it happens, John. It happens when 2 months I've been pestering you to get into your air-conditioned home, all right, and I was being...
Oh, was that it? Well, why didn't you just tell me?
Okay, and so finally I was allowed to come in, and I came in, and I thought, well, all right, I will thank you by cleaning your house.
Well, I appreciate that. Just one thing before I go.
Yes.
Where's the remote for the stereo? I can't find it anywhere.
The remote for the stereo.
I'm just teasing you.
Oh.
I'm not going to try to make you do this on air.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, I would have to think.
By the way, just one question for you.
Yeah.
This Lavoie Finicum deal,
yes.
I just had Mike post the story on that.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the head of the FBI at the time?
Comey.
Mr. Comey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just asking.
Oh, no. Well, is that any surprise?
No.
And here we go, this band of gypsies behind closed doors. And by the way, Roger Stone is going to testify next month, of course, behind closed doors. And he's not going to testify in the public arena because his testimony, as I know full well, will blow the whole story of the Russian hacking out the window, so they can't afford to have him testify.
But what they've done, this is a monumental move for the mainstream media. They've moved off of Donald Trump, and they've moved that on to Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's progress.
Well, you know, in their world it is. Thanks for stopping in, John.
Hey, not a problem.
Okay. Mike, is Eric on the line yet? Okay, go ahead and give him a call. Yeah, I'm going to bring Eric here up in a couple of minutes. But, you know, John, is it good news or is it bad news that they're actually inviting? Is this guy taking the fall, this FBI guy? Is he taking the fall to get the focus off or no?
Don't know.
Don't know. Just have to see how it plays out, folks.
What's it? Good dead man out of this incident. People have been left off. It wasn't such a big deal.
No.
Somebody's head's on a plate.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to go down for it. One of the lower lowlings is going to go down for it, folks. So, anyway, give me a second here. My engineer is trying to bring Eric Jones up on the air here, and then we're going to proceed with what's happening. And I know, you know, some of you out there saying, well, there's a little confusion here. You're right, there is. And if you saw what's going on in my life lately, folks, you understand the confusion. There's a lot of things that are that I'm trying to get done behind the scenes, and there's a lot of different geographic locales that I have to do it in. So with that, Eric Jones, are you with me?
I'm here, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, Eric. Glad to have you up on the air. I was just mentioning, John stopped in here and popped in for a few minutes to talk, and I was sharing with the audience some of the updates that you're going to give and also what's kind of going on in my world, and that you're going to come up. You're actually helping me out here, and you're going to co-host for me. You're going to do a show tomorrow night, and then I'm leaving, folks. Probably I was going to leave tomorrow morning, which is why I had Eric step in to do a show tomorrow night. I'm not going to do that, but there's other things that I'm going to do behind the scenes. And then I'm going to be in town probably till Wednesday, do a show Wednesday night, and then Thursday I have to head back to Arizona. And I'm going to be back there until I will be broadcasting. I'll probably be broadcasting on Friday night. What day is that? Let's hold on to a second. Let me look. It's the 30th? No, it's not. No,
you talking about the day after tomorrow?
No, I'm talking about a week from Friday.
I mean, a week from. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, a week from Friday, I'll be broadcasting. You're going to broadcast tomorrow night, and then you're Thursday night, a week from tomorrow. I would ask for you to broadcast because I will be on the road. Eric, can you do that?
Got it. Yeah, sure.
Okay, then I believe I'll be broadcasting Friday night. And then the following week, I will be broadcasting until the 13th of July. And then you're going to take over on the 13th because I have to fly back to Indiana. I've got a contractual commitment back there, which also involves a replacement of the IT guy for some work to be done behind the scenes with the RBN website. So we're going to go to a break. We'll be back, and we'll give you some updates, folks. Eric will catch you up on his co-host, Chris, when we get back. See you in three.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the studios of Round Rock, Texas. Eric Jones, okay. Tell us about Chris. What's going on there, Eric?
Well, on or about April 14th, Chris went in to file papers in the court, and the judge in Chris's criminal case immediately locked him up, and within, oh gosh, less than 2 weeks, they flew him 8 hours from Las Vegas. Now, this is the criminal.
Whoa, okay, but let's back up a minute because I'm not real familiar with this. He goes, Chris, now he co-hosted with you prior to me taking over, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And Chris was going through a case in court where he had a code violation with a car in his driveway that was up on jacks or blocks.
Right.
Or something like that, and they ended up dragging his car out of his driveway with the tow truck, and when he ran out with his pistol at his side, that metastasized into a threatening a police officer, even though he handed him the gun, and they gave it back to him when they left, so they must have not felt too threatened. So anyway, but they're going after patriots and trying to push buttons like that all around the country. I notice a pattern of this. So they got Chris on a code thing. He went out to defend his property, and that became a criminal charge during the course of him filing criminal papers in criminal court. Brilliant papers, you know, common law documents, and if anybody remembers Chris, and we'll have him on again maybe even tomorrow if he can get to his phone, because his phone was turned off while he was incarcerated.
So he goes in, let me get this straight, he goes in at what date to file these papers?
I'm going through my text here, and it looks like April 14th. Three witnesses were present. I'll read you the text that was sent to me by the gentleman who does the courtroomwatch.com website with me. And he got this text from one of our people who was there and sent it to me, and it says, three witnesses were present for Chris Cave on April 14th, 2017, who was not summoned to appear and who had filed into the record, quote, a challenge to provide burden of proof that all involved with Clark County Regional Justice Center in court case number C-17, blah, 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 were operating in complete and full disclosure of burden of proofs of subject matter jurisdiction, operating in a court of record as defined by the Nevada revised statutes, which was never responded to by any public servant involved in their RICO tort fraud. I think this was sounds like it was written by Chris, but anyway, and his written dismissal of all bar attorneys representing him was completely ignored and denied by Judge Becker, who is the criminal judge in his criminal case, and Judge Togliatti, who is the competency judge, and currently detaining Chris illegally, unlawfully, for not adhering to their order to determine competency that was never followed through with by Chris. So they ordered competency examinations. He went to some. He refused other ones, which was smart. You never go to any competency examination. You don't concede to any medical,
Well, because they're going to rule with their plants that he's got a psychological problem. They're going to put him in the insane asylum.
It's a
right.
pattern a bit, yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
All crazy.
All right.
So he filed papers in court, and long and short, so they gave him he's got one judge named Judge Becker for his criminal matter, which was the thing with the car being towed and him running outside with his gun and all that. And that's Judge Becker, who, by the way, does not appear to have any license from the bar to practice law in the state of Nevada.
We really?
Check up on it. Yeah, I can't find
they,
it. If anybody
they just stuck him in
know.
There.
Like, yeah, and so, well, she's a senior judge. She's retired, but calling herself a senior judge, and she comes out on an ad hoc basis for specialty cases like Chris's, so she could get this now. She trumped the competency judge, Judge Togliatti, and we did a program on this, before Chris went in for his hearing, and we tried to get some phone calls, and it worked out pretty well for Chris with the judge, but while the competency judge was saying at the proceedings, Chris seems competent, he's always coherent, he's always here on time, and he always shows up for his things, the criminal judge, Judge Becker, the senior retired judge, the hanging judge, the one with the big cheese came in that they bring in for specialty cases like Chris's, trumped the competency judge, Judge Togliatti, and issued an order for Chris to be transferred from the Clark County, Nevada Detention Center 8 hours from his home. This is, he got sent off to northern Nevada by jet plane. They flew him out on the jet plane. They wanted so bad to get rid of him and sent him to a place called Lakes Crossing Psychiatric Center, which is where he was forcibly held against his will in a psychiatric hospital for his political beliefs, during which time he had his phone privileges shut off because he did a radio broadcast from the place. He had eight guys lean on him and draw blood that when he didn't want to give
all right, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We got to go to a break. We'll be back in a few, folks. This is getting good. I'm not totally up to speed on this, but I have a few questions. We'll be right back on the other side. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. I've got Eric Jones on the other line. Now, Eric, I want to ask you, when this Becker, this judge, this faux judge, this alleged judge, steps in and basically trumps, if you will, the other judge and flies Chris off to northern Nevada, how long did they keep him in the psychiatric ward?
He's been there since about a week ago when we managed to get him transferred back to Clark County Detention Center. He had a hearing coming up, and at the hearing on Friday, he was found to be competent, at which time he was let go, and because it was the middle of the night, he had to walk home, and somebody had changed the locks on his house, I guess his ex-wife, and a complete nightmare of having to crawl in through the doggy door to get to sleep in his own bed on Friday night. So that's the long and the short. The happy ending, he's back. But imagine for 6, 7, almost 8 weeks, locked up in a psychiatric hospital, maximum security, where you're locked in, you cannot leave. He had phone privileges, which was unusual, and I was just looking at my watch saying, oh boy, matter of time before they shut that one off, which they did after he did a radio broadcast with somebody else, and this is kind of why I did not want him to do that, because then all communication was cut off. But for the first 3 or 4 weeks of his incarceration, we had people getting through, and it was fortunate. A lot of women were calling, and that was good because they were kind of easy on the staff, and they weren't calling and complaining and saying, let him go, and being a little more forceful like a guy would. Rebecca and Shirley and Jody all need to be commended for doing all the work that they did, and I called and a few other people did. We didn't want to overdo it with his phone thing because they gave him a certain number of minutes, but he could take calls and make calls. But it was no pleasant experience. At one time, he didn't want to give blood and went back to his room, and six guys came in and jumped on top of him and held him down and stuck a needle in him and supposedly drew blood. God knows what they did. I mean, when somebody puts a needle in, you don't know if they're taking out or pulling in when they're pinning you down to the bed. So, yeah, it was a complete nightmare, and he was locked up for his political beliefs. And what he did on this broadcast with me and the stuff he was doing, the papers he was filing with the court were brilliant. They knew he knew what he was talking about, and they went after him hard, and there was no reason to lock him up. The judge who locked him up wasn't even the competency judge, and she had absolutely no authority and no jurisdiction. I mean, if there was any justice whatsoever, which there's not, I don't expect anything out of Sessions, but I would, in a real administration that had a real Justice Department, and a real civil rights, you know, unit, that you would see Chris getting millions of dollars, and he may still if he gets in front of a friendly jury, because he was locked up completely unlawfully by a judge who was not the competency judge, with absolutely no evidence that he was an imminent danger to himself or others. And that's the legal standard in almost every state for mandatory incarceration in a psychiatric hospital. You have to either be an immediate danger to yourself or somebody else. And, I mean, who was he a danger to? He was doing brilliant broadcasting here with me on the radio, and he was, you know, of course, filing great papers with the courts that were actually had lawful standing, because he knows, he's a smart guy, he knows what he's doing. People who listen to Chris, they'll know what I'm talking about. Maybe we'll have him on, but he's just got out.
Okay, but to have him on,
some sleep, I'm sure.
Okay, to have him on, first of all, obviously, what does he have, a cell phone? They're monitoring his cell phone? I mean, he did radio broadcasts.
His cell phone was shut off when he was in. He didn't have anybody to pay his cell phone bill. I mean, he's basically, his phone was turned off. So I don't know if he's going to get his old number turned back on or if he's trying to, but I'm sure he's just basically catching up. I mean, he's probably just catching up on sleep right now. And I would expect, I'm hoping to hear from him in the next day or two. But apparently he did make it home after a complete nightmare, but I have not talked to him yet, and so I don't know. I can't promise he could come on or anything, but I'm sure he's going to pop up in the next few days. He'll probably give me a ring, and I'll just say, hey, you want to come on and tell your story, if that's okay with you, Mike?
Oh, that's, is it okay with me? I want to hear it. I mean, this is
and he's a smart guy. He knows it's going to be very interesting to hear it.
Well, it's not just, you know,
I'm trying to follow this. These things are tough to follow because the courts aren't very friendly with sharing information. So if you don't have boots on the ground, so to speak, people on the spot to give you feedback. By the way, John Lamb, we're going to have him on hopefully tomorrow. I gave him a call, and he said he'd be very interested in coming on to give updates on the Bundy trials in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll all.
Well, I had just read a report before you came on that they're actually they've indicted one of the federal agents over the LaVoy
Clinic. Yeah, when I heard you, I was listening to you at the beginning of the show, and I heard, so I went right over to online and saw if I could. Nobody's releasing the guy's name. I know you were asking about that, and I thought I could find it, but I haven't been able to yet.
Yeah, well, that's no surprise. According to the report, it was supposed to be released today, but I haven't heard anything about it. But
very disturbingly, and while we're on that topic, when I was listening to, I think, the Dave Hodges, your buddy Dave Hodges report, and he does great work, it wasn't his fault, but he said, you know, the names of the 200 or 300 top pedophiles in Hollywood, household names, top people in the entertainment business, the legal, you know, the lawyers, and they were talking about lawyers and judges and members, high-ranking, that's what, this is their words in the report, high-ranking members of the clergy. This was the report that the police gave, and that Hodges was relaying that to us. Of course, where are the names? And, of course, they're not releasing the names. The court is somehow locking all the names up. For what reason? I'd like to know their justification.
To ultimately figure out a way to sweep it under the rug and make it go away.
Well, sure.
That's why. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So the pedophile networks, I mean, is that really, so, you know, is Trump really, I mean, what are they doing? It sounds like they're throwing the people a few bones to make it look like the administration's doing this or that, and we're basically getting crumbs when we need a tidal wave of restoration. And I don't want to use the word change, because the change for the worse has already taken place. We want to restore.
So all of this that happened with Chris was over this car, and when they came and got his car, they charged him with threatening a police officer with a gun. This is why the ordering of the competency hearing, is that correct?
The order of the competency hearing was because he's filing all these brilliant common law documents that they were very intimidated by his paperwork. And as soon as they feel someone's like a threat, like legitimately doing really good work in our movement, they come after you hard. And they did with Chris. So it was really based on his handling of the criminal case and them claiming, oh, you're one of these common law scholars, you're one of these patriots, you're one of these constitutionalists or whatever label that they throw at us, and you know they do that, and the people in the system are trained to look at us that way. We're something strange about being wanting your common law rights in a free republic.
Well, you're very strange. If you believe in the Constitution and you believe in the words in the Constitution, then yes, you're an outcast. You know, speaking of that, and I did a show the other night, and I know you're not familiar with this, but I asked the listening audience, where do you draw the line between, you know, totally opting out of the system, i.e. use the word sovereign citizen or whatever, and go into insanity? Because I had a situation with a gentleman which I tried.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting you brought that up, because that's a conundrum I've been in, you know, as well, witnessing myself and other people. And here's my answer to that. Anybody who thinks they're going to be like out of the system, off the grid, and the quote unquote, they're not going to know about you because you're, forget it. If you've been born and you're drawing breath right now listening to this, they know you. They've got some dossier, some file, some record of your device that they use on voice print data through Echelon and all this other stuff that the CIA has. Don't think you're hiding from anybody. So people, listen, come out in the light and start doing some battle politically with your mind in your mouth, and maybe we don't have to turn to the bullets and all the other stuff that could get ugly. So, but yeah, there's no hiding from the system. Forget it. That's delusional to think you're going to be disappearing anytime soon, folks. So I would just end them. I would say this. Get your license and get your car stuff so you can travel at least without battling the street Nazis for right to travel violations. You're going to have to give a little to get a lot, and then go out and pass out jury nullification flyers and get the entire community realizing they can overturn any law that they don't like just by the jury box. It happened during the Revolutionary War. Just before it, the colonists were completely rejecting all the German British statutes by just doing jury nullification. Everybody was not guilty. There was nothing they were finding people guilty for because they know all the statutes suck, and they just said, this is where it stops. And so the British stopped passing a lot of statutes. Eventually it led to, you know, rebellion on our part. But, we don't need that. We already had our revolution in 1776, and we're looking for a restoration of the principles that was founded on. I know the founding fathers sucked. A lot of them were Freemasons, and we can go down that rabbit hole later. But it's still the best thing we got going right now. If the original concepts of, like, a Magna Carta-based republic are respected with very little government and not all this top heavy court stuff that was put through in 1789, mm-hmm, with the Judiciary Act. So anyway, but Chris, you know, it just shows you how much power the courts have. The power is in the courts. You know, this wasn't the legislature that did this to Chris, and there's all kinds of civil rights statutes that protect him against what happened to him. It's just fascinating how far down the toilet of tyranny we've gone.
Yeah, and that's why I say if you're able to bring it up, it'll be a fascinating show, not just because of what happened, but also the reliving, which is probably not easy to do, but reliving the entire experience like Ammon Bundy has done with us through some of these videos he's released in his incarceration of what has happened to Chris during his short tenure in this establishment.
It was amazing. The night they scooped up Chris, I think, was the night transferred him from the Clark County Detention Center to the psychiatric hospital 8 hours into northern Nevada by jet plane, was the same night that they had Ammon Bundy. I'm looking through my text here, and it looks like the same night that he got shackled up with his arms behind his back for 10 hours in a shower stall and all this other stuff. They've got everybody, like, all at the same time. It could not have been by accident. This is a unified. Well, Tom Rogers, I think our listener, Tom, how you doing, Tom out there? I hope you're still listening. Had viewed the video of the judicial convention in Vegas where they talked about how to take down the Patriot movement. And people in it, Chris.
And I've mentioned many times on air, and I know you're aware of this, the enemy is us. The enemy is the awakened Americans that are that have the ability to see. They cannot fool us, because all of this dog and pony show, they're coming out with a Russian collusion, and, you know, they were trying to blame Trump for it, now they're shifting the blame over to Obama. They're creating all of this magic and diversions and so forth. And the bottom line is, they're doing the